Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. And jumping right in with us on the hotline from the Myrtle Beach Speedway, the hardest working man at Myrtle Beach Speedway, I have seen it myself, Mr. Mike Neff joins us. How are you tonight, brother?
I am fantastic, my friend. Thanks so much for having me on.
We appreciate you giving us the time. I teased you right away, the hardest working man. Seriously, let our audience in on everything that you do for Myrtle Beach Speedway. And folks, if you're listening out there, please get comfortable because the list could be quite long.
I mean, it's, you know how short track life is. Everybody's a chief cook and a bottle washer. We do whatever it is we need to get done. This past weekend, we had the Nopi Nationals car show, and I was working doing registration for part of the event. I was out directing traffic to get cars off property for part of the event. Fortunately, I did not have to work as a fireman. We actually had a drift car catch on fire, and some other folks took care of that one. But we extinguished one fire, and then it flared back up bad enough that we had to bring in a fire truck from down the road. That got kind of exciting. I mean, back barring for the bars for the Big Smo concert this weekend. Putting up banners, tearing down banners, picking up trash. The story I like to tell is during the 400 last fall, I actually mounted 400 race tires before announcing the event. And I don't know if there's a whole lot of short tracks in America where the announcer of the track also mounts race tires. So that was kind of a fun one. I worked doing sales and marketing, trying to get sponsors into the track all the time. And you know as well as I do, tracks survive off of sponsorship, and whether it's actual dollars or business-to-business relationships where people trade things out for you, whatever it is, you do what you do to make it work. We've got a press conference tomorrow at 4 o'clock that's going to announce a big partner we have coming on board for the Horry County Fair. Last year we did the fair for the first time, so this is our second time around, and we're going to announce a presenting sponsor. So I'm in the process of trying to find talent to stand around and entertain during the press conference with jugglers and fire breathers and stilt walkers and things like that while putting together the press release that will go out as soon as the thing goes live, contacting local media to make sure they're going to be there so that we're not just talking to ourselves. At the same time, reaching out to folks like the folks at Must See Extreme Sprints to get them to come on board. They're going to actually settle their championship at Myrtle Beach this year in October. I've reached out, as well as I do, that I write about racing and go to some of the cup races. I ran into the young lady at Atlanta last weekend, or weekend before last, that sang the national anthem during the Xfinity race. Well, it so happens that she's a retired Air Force officer who used to work in the public relations side. So she has connections for the people that orchestrate flyovers. So I'm angling that to try to work between getting the local recruiters to come out and be part of the fair and kind of get in front of people, but also to work and see if we can get flyovers for both our big race in July, the Sunfun 101, and the Myrtle Beach 400 at the end of the year. So we're in the flight path of the airport, so it may be difficult, but at the same time it may be easier because they can come in like you're going to the airport anyway, and they just fly a little bit lower to give us a flyover. So it's everything, man. I mean, it's, you know, you get patches that need to be done in the track. We're out there doing that. We're working on the NASCAR Racing Experience cars because those things need to get constantly maintained when you got people coming out and riding them. It is what it is. You do everything under the sun when you work at a local short track, because you got a small staff. We have basically six people that work here at the track. So anything that needs to be done is what we do.
That episode I saw last fall when I attended the Myrtle Beach 400 was a first for me. I saw you covered in sweat in the infield before the race started at the tire mounting shop, mounted wheels tires up to your elbows, higher than your head. You go up to the announcing booth, change your shirt, get cleaned up, grab the mic, and call the action. An absolute first for me in all my years of going to the racetrack as a guy mounting up the tires and then calling the action on the PA. So I'm proud of you.
Right, and then you had to run down after each race to do the victory lane while at the same time trying to feed to TV, because our local TV, HTC Cable Company, airs our races live on TV here in town. So I'm doing the commentating on that at the same time going over the PA, then have to run down the stairs to do each victory lane, then back up to the PA booth. Then after the whole race, go down and do interviews post-race to try and get some stuff to put on our website and what have you. Now this year, we're actually starting up a little show that I'm going to get onto once I hang up with you, called Riding Shotgun with Mike Neff, that we do here in the office every Monday night. Mm-hmm. And it's focused on the whole Southeast rather than just Myrtle Beach Speedway. I mean, Myrtle Beach sponsors it, but we're talking about races from all over the Southeast and, you know, kind of to draw attention to local racing and give a face to the drivers. That's one of the things that I am passionate about in trying to help asphalt racing get back to where it was. When we were kids, you had guys like Sam Ard and Jack Ingram and Dick Trickle and you know, the list goes on with Seneca and guys like that that raced their whole lives at the local level. So you had fan bases of tens of thousands of people that followed these guys on local short tracks. Nowadays, you have a handful of guys. There's maybe four in the Southeast that run at local tracks all the time. It's a little bit bigger in the Northeast, and that's why the modifieds do so well up there. But the asphalt guys that are really good race a couple of years and then move on. So you don't build up those fan bases. And that's why I think asphalt tracks struggle to keep the stands full, because there isn't that dedicated fan base for the drivers. So you've got to kind of work to build that fan base up. But at the same time, do things that are exciting on a racetrack, too. And we may mention it here a little bit before we're done, but the Daytona 1 Beach Madness that we're doing down here at Myrtle Beach to try and bring some NCAA tournament excitement to local short track racing is just mm-hmm. one of those things that you're trying to do to kind of excite people and give them a reason to come out to the track and be involved and have that passion come back to local short track racing.
Mm-hmm. Let's come back to that in a moment. I do want to talk about that, you know, that tournament bracket style racing that you have designed for the rest of the season, or for the 2017, I should say. But let's kick it off this weekend coming up, big one at Myrtle Beach Speedway, the opening for the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour, new unified series, no north, no south, just one modified tour. It all kicks off this Saturday at Myrtle Beach. Tell me about the weekend you guys got planned.
Yes, sir. It's going to be a cool weekend. It's one of those things that when the modified tour unified, they wanted to do a handful of races in the South still and, you know, kind of bring the guys down here, give the guys in the South a place to run and potentially drag them to the tour to go back up north. So they want to have three or four dates in the South, and they were looking, you know, thinking about it, that obviously weather's warmer earlier in the year down here, so let's have the season opener in the South. They approached our track owner, Bob Lutz, and he agreed to doing it because he's from New York and he likes modified. So he got on board with it and agreed to do it, and then, you know, phone calls were made and people talked and what have you, and lo and behold, we got a longtime NASCAR sponsor, Safety Clean, to come on board and be the sponsor and thus name it the Performance Plus 150 is the modified portion. The Performance Plus 300 is the whole day, because when you add the other four races in with it, it becomes 300 laps. But the guys at Safety Clean are promoting their product. Performance Plus is a fine oil that they've come out with. And the cool thing about it, and again, it's, as I mentioned earlier, you're kind of doing those business-to-business relationships. The folks at Safety Clean are using this not only as a promotion of the event, but as a meeting. And they're bringing in a couple thousand people from around the country of all the different Safety Clean locations to Myrtle Beach and actually having a national meeting before the race. So we're going to have a whole bunch of yellow shirts in the stands when we kick off the race, because all the folks from Safety Clean are coming in for the meeting, and then they're going to have hospitality at the racetrack and sit down and watch some fantastic racing. So it's a cool way it kind of evolved from them getting on board to be the sponsor and then deciding to use it as a device to get all their people on board and together to kind of support the race. So it's kind of two-pronged, and we're really excited about it. I think we're going to have, you know, we got those 2,000 folks, and you got people from the Northeast that have moved south because they don't like freezing in the wintertime, but now get to see their modified guys run down here. So I think you're going to probably have probably close to 4,000 people in the stands, which at an asphalt track besides Bowman Gray Stadium, that's a heck of a crowd.
Very good as far as a pavement crowd and a short track and the efforts that you guys are putting together, as you just said a few moments ago, to kind of build short track pavement racing back up to a level that it used to be. Looking at the show that you guys have lined up, we modified feature opens 150 laps. The other divisions give you a total of 300 laps on the day. Who will we see there? Big names, drivers, as far as late models, modifieds. What will a fan see when they buy a ticket to Myrtle Beach this weekend?
Well, let's start off talking about modifieds. You're going to have a bunch of the guys from the Northeast, because the Northeast guys, the tour is big for them. You know, you have Stafford Thompson and Waterford that they will race at all season long, but those tracks kind of structure their schedules around so these guys can run the tour as well. And so you've got the biggest names in it that run the tour are all going to be here. Doug Kobe came down and won our icebreaker race. Ryan Preece was there. He's supposed to be coming back. Ronnie Silk came in and ran the icebreaker. Matt Hirschman was there for the icebreaker. He's going to be back. Pretty much going to have probably 14 to 16 of the guys out of the Northeast, maybe more than that. And then you're going to have the handful from the South that are going to show up. Have not heard confirmation if Jason Myers is coming or not. Last I talked to him, he was still looking for a sponsor, but if he could swing that, he was not only going to run this race, but a handful of others on the tour. Burt Myers is supposed to be here for sure. Don't know, Tim Brown doesn't do the NASCAR racing side of it anymore. He just does the stadium. But you'll have a few of the guys from the South. In the end, you know, you don't know with these local short track deals who all is going to show up until they show up. But we're expecting somewhere between 25 and probably 35 modifieds with an outside shot at 40 showing up for it. But the names that you know out of the Northeast, outside of like Mike Stefanik, I don't know that Stefanik's coming down or Christopher's coming down. But the guys that run the full tour are absolutely going to be here. And it should be a great show. As far as the late model side, as I mentioned earlier, we've got our Daytona One Beach Madness deal going. And so you're going to have a pretty stout field. We've gone through and kind of gauged based on people that have told us they're coming and the people we know will come. And we're going to have somewhere around 25 or 26 late models here, I believe, which is a stout field. And just saw yesterday a post from Haley Moody that said she is coming and going to be running a Lee Pulliam performance car with her teammate Lee Pulliam. So Pulliam is coming down for this one. Matt Cox, who's our track champion, is going to be here. Sam Yarbrough is going to be here. Chad McCombie's running. We've got, I'm trying to look at my list here that I had printed off and kind of checked off a few of them. Our local guys like Lucas Williams, Chris Throckmorton, Brian Voss, Tyler English is going to be here. Justin Milliken's running. I mean, it's DJ Mackey, for those of you that are Caraway fans, is going to be making the trip down and running with us quite a bit this year. But we've got, like I said, it's going to be 25 or 26 late models, which is a heck of a field. And you never know what might happen. Some more guys here that we're going to have that many cars, they may come down and show up. Again, it's a day of the race kind of thing. You wish you got these guys to sign up a little bit earlier, but unfortunately, that's just the way it works. But we're pretty confident we'll have more than 20 late models and probably 30 or more modified. So, plus you've got Chargers, mini stocks, and super trucks all running as well. The infield will be packed. There's no infield parking for spectators this weekend because there is going to be no room to move down there.
That's a good problem to have for any speedway that's hosting an event of this size. Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about the Beach Madness, kind of bringing the NCAA tournament bracket, so to speak, to short track racing. What's that all about?
It's an exciting deal. It's something that we were talking about it last fall during lunch one day about just what can we do that's different that will incorporate the drivers and the fans and give us some excitement, you know, give us a reason to be excited about local short track racing. And we were at Buffalo Wild Wings and you're looking around at the banners from the schools and stuff. You're like, you know, we should try and do a tournament. And so we kind of played around with it and hashed out this idea of a 32-driver tournament. You pair up the drivers with each other. Drivers will run a 5-race segment, count their best 4 races, and the driver of the 2 that scores the most points advances to the next round. The other one's eliminated. Mm-hmm. You get paired up with another driver based on a bracket, just like with the NCAA tournament. Those two guys go head-to-head for 5 races, count their best 4 again. One of those two guys advances, the other one goes home. There will be 3 rounds. They're going to have 15 total races in the bracket part of it. And the final elimination is the last race of the season. And when that one's done, there will be 4 drivers that advance out of the bracket. You then have a couple other wild card options. Lee Pulliam won the icebreaker, but provided he runs the minimum total of 5 races this season, he is guaranteed a spot in the finals. Whoever wins the Sun Fun 101, which is our July 8th race, provided they are signed up for Beach Madness and they run a minimum number of races, they will get an advance, a guaranteed spot in the finals. And then we have a battle back race October 21st. That is the 28 drivers that have been eliminated will run a 50-lap sprint on October 21st. And the top 2 finishers from that race will also go into the Myrtle Beach 400 with a chance of winning the Daytona One Beach Madness bonus. So in the end, you're going to have at the most 8 drivers in the 400 running for the bonus money. And no matter where they finish in the 400, the highest finishing guy out of those 8 will get a $5,000 bonus from the folks at Daytona One on top of whatever they earn for the 400 as the winner of Beach Madness. Now, the cool thing is the fans can win as well. We have opened up our brackets. There's an application or a web page on a site called challonge.com, challonge.com. If you want to put in a /D1BM for Daytona One Beach Madness, you will get a bracket that comes up. You can sign up for free, create an account, make your predictions. As long as you have them in by this Saturday when opening ceremony starts, you're into the Beach Madness bracket as well. When the end of the eliminations happen in September, the top 20 people will receive a special invitation to make picks for the 400. And they'll basically pick the guy they think is going to win of the 8 that have advanced, and some other things like starting position and finishing position in order to have tiebreakers, because obviously some duplicates will probably happen. But whoever ends up picking the winner and winning the tiebreaker will walk away with $2,500 from the folks at Daytona One, and there's no cost to enter. So you're crazy not to get into it. And the cool thing is you're going to have guys running for, you know, 11th place that are battling each other because it's an elimination night for a segment, and the guy that finishes ahead of the other is going to advance. So I think it's going to bring a lot of excitement through the field and give fans some ability to kind of, you know, latch on to these drivers. And we're going to try to do some stuff during driver intros and things like that that'll highlight fans that have picked drivers. So it's, again, just something different to do. The folks at Daytona One, they make car care products and car maintenance products, have come on board and put their money behind it because they believe in local short track racing. And it's just a fun thing that we've tried to put in here that's different. And I'm not going to lie, I'm shocked. I fully expected that we would probably get 14 to 16 guys to sign up for this thing. We have 32 drivers signed up. We actually had to turn a driver away because the field was full. So we're really excited about it. And just like this weekend, Lee Pulliam's running here this weekend, and I'm 95% sure it's because he won the icebreaker and he wants to run the minimum races to make sure he's locked in. And again, he is committed to running for a national championship this year. If we are going to be showing him that we can have 20 cars on a weekly basis, I think we'll see a lot more of him then.
Fun times and big racing happening at Myrtle Beach Speedway starting this weekend, and it will continue throughout the 2017 calendar. Mike, I got to put a pin in it right there. I appreciate your time for coming on Speedway Report. I'd love to talk to you all night, my friend, but I got to move on. But
me
thanks
too,
so
brother.
Much for joining us tonight. And with any luck, I'm trying to work it out. I may see you this weekend at Myrtle Beach Speedway. I'll let you know.
You know you're welcome anytime, my friend. Thank you so much
sure
for having
do.
Me. Everybody get out there and sign up for your Daytona One Beach Madness bracket, because it doesn't cost a thing, and you may win $2,500.
No better promo than that. Mike, thanks so much. Appreciate you coming on the show. Take care, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Mike Neff from the Myrtle Beach Speedway, starting with the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour this Saturday. Their opening race for the tour, and then lots of big late model racing this whole 2017 season. Let's hit up the victory lane lap real quick. Let you know who won what over the weekend. NASCAR Cup, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup, excuse me, were in Las Vegas. That race was won by Martin Truex Jr. The Xfinity race in Vegas on Saturday, taken by, who was that? Was it Kyle Larson? Brad Keselowski. Joey Logano. That's who it was. I think I got the wrong name written down. IndyCars were in St. Petersburg, Florida. Sebastian Bourdais, last to first, started 21st, won the race to open the IndyCar season. Las Vegas also hosted the World of Outlaws Sprint Cars. They were the support class at the dirt track on Thursday and Friday nights. Donnie Schatz got out the broom, swept the weekend features there, and the Cars Tour was right here locally to our studio in Concord, North Carolina. The Super Late Model 100 was won by Harrison Burton, and the Late Model Stock Car 100 was won by Josh Berry. Everyone in between our broadcasts, you can keep up on the world of auto racing with SpeedwayReport.com. Replays are now posted on the site at the top ribbon. You just click the TV button, and you can check out tonight's show as well as archived programs. We've got columns on the site from Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and me. SpeedwayReport.com, your home for motorsports features and columns. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRNN Racers Reunion, for the production work tonight. You can hear more from Jeff and our Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History. We affectionately call it the Goat Rodeo. And please don't forget, Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern Time on Racers Reunion Radio. Big thanks to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat rooms for tuning in. Juggling two shows tonight, Speedway Report and Stars Radio. I did not get a chance to participate. That'll change, I think, next week if Jerry Smith is up to it. Hope to be chatting with you guys a little bit more, but as always, we love you and appreciate you guys being here every single week. If you did tune in late or you would like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report or any of our programs, simply catch up like this. Racers Reunion has live content every Monday and Tuesday, replays 24/7 throughout the week, and you can just check the radio player, Speedway Report and RacersReunion.com. Just hit it up. You can hear any show you want, anytime you want. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rockin' with DragList.com. A reminder, please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week with news from Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series machines in Phoenix, the 12 hours of Sebring, the NASCAR Modified Tours opening race in Myrtle Beach, and racing's Hot Topics. Thank you all for joining us on Facebook Live, Racers Reunion Radio, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night.